Let's get to our guest, Steen Jakobsen, CIO and Chief Economist at Saxo Bank. Well, let's start off with Europe, Steen. It's a pretty difficult environment there. Now you've got very high levels of inflation. The ECB will have to get aggressive. And it's all happening as a crisis, an energy crisis, is sweeping through the continent. Do things look pretty dire for risk assets at the moment?
Yes and no. Of course, forward-looking, the market is seriously concerned about the constraints. And of course, the recent development on Russia closing down indefinitely, as it looks right now, on the gas into Europe and in particular Germany, is again raising red flags. But you have to remember, we come from an extremely strong personal balance sheet. And similar to the U.S., we still have very, very high employment. But it's absolutely critical that we solve and disconnect the energy price of Israel. Right now is pricing in Europe only on natural gas. So in other words, you have production of electricity in Europe, which is significantly cheaper than the marginal cost of natural gas. And I think that's the real issue, because as you rightly says in the EU summary, Germany, 65 billion, the Swedish Prime Minister saying she would use hundreds of billions of Swedish to support. Spain is using support. France is already curtailing the prices. So we are in for a massive fiscal expansion in Europe to offset this drawdown.
How long do you see this situation with the elevated energy prices persisting?
So in theoretical terms, we have roughly 90-100% of the storage we need in terms of natural gas. But of course, as I've just indicated, the marginal price is not really priced off that. And if you look at the structural issue of Europe, and this is really what's driving the medium average price, we will have at least 2 to 3 windows of this much, much higher energy price, because the resolution in terms of solving for the supply is very, very, very slow in motion. So unfortunately, I don't really see any relief on the energy side, but I do think the consumers will adapt. And I do think the governments around Europe will, as I just indicated, go to the fiscal tools to support the negative impacts on energy and food on the consumer itself.
It's also a good time to get your take on the U.S. jobs report, the challenge that the Fed is facing here at the moment. It seems like inflation is starting to roll over, but there's such a gap between where inflation is and where the Fed funds rate is that there's more work to be done. Your thoughts there?
So the problem, I think it's two things from the Federal Reserve. I think Jackson Hole, the fact it was only 9 minutes long from Powell, indicates that he was under a very clear mandate that he needed to communicate hawkishness. So in game theory kind of way, I think what's going on right now with not only the Fed, but also all global central bank, is that if they're going to fail, right now they'd rather fail on being too hawkish than being too dovish. This whole story about being transitory, the inflation, the whole story about being cyclical, about core inflation being mean reverting, doesn't work anymore. Exactly for the same reason that we just discussed in Europe, we are not really dealing with the supply side. So for me, the Federal Reserve, of course, hawkish. And that coincides, of course, with the fact that in August we saw the early signs of QT working. And I think as we come into September, we'll see additional QT.
You were talking about Jay Powell's hawkish message at Jackson Hole. Well, we're just a couple of weeks away now from the next Fed meeting. What are we looking at here, 50 or another 75 basis points?
Yeah, of course, we're somewhere in between, obviously, between 50 and 75, with the market notching closer to the 75 basis points. And I really think the market wants 75, so they want to get away and get this height in place so they can look, as they constantly have, at 23 as a period, second half, potentially, that we see the peak in rates.
When you see the real economy outpacing the financial economy, what sort of investments are brought to the fore?
That's absolutely the right question. What's going on right now is that the tangible economy, or the tangible assets, it's outperforming the intangibles. And we have to remember, since 1975, the intangibles has gone from less than 70% of the capital market to more than 90%. So today we are left with a market which is, you know, what every marketing manager dreams of, a digital economy. What is happening now is the revenge of the real economy, the tangible assets. So what makes sense is to be long in logistics, in energy, in commodities and in defense stocks and in things that actually simply sits in the real world and which directly has a productivity gain embedded into their investment.
Well, you're in Singapore at the moment. You're going to be making some remarks as part of an Asia-Pacific macro event. What are the key themes you're going to be talking about here, and what are the key risks in the region?
That the aggregate demand, which is what 95% of all economy use, is not. It cannot be used for analyzing the economy right now. This is about the fact that, yes, we have a slowdown in the global economy at the aggregate demand side, but aggregate supply still sits significantly north of that intersection between supply and demand, which means that we will continue to have inflationary pressure for longer. That accentuate what we just talked about. You need to be intangible assets as an outperformance. The real economy needs to have a bigger weight in the overall weight in order to the market to reset. And part of that, of course, is a build-up of not just one, not just alternative energy, but a multiple source of energy sources that needs to come online. And we need to build for the future, not for the past, as we've done with the energy policy. And beneath all of that, of course, we also have that we are now, in our opinion, in a period of the market where if you look at the capital weight index like the S&P and NASDAQ, 70% of the stock market is cheap, 30% is very expensive. The problem is the 30%, which of course is the intangible assets, all the platforms are hugely expensive relative to consumer demand, whereas the real economy and the small and medium sized, as the mid cap, all of these stocks are already dirt cheap.
So is any part of this next line that I'm going to deliver not accurate? Read my lips, inflation will not come down to 2 to 3%. Steen Jakobsen.
Yeah, I'm going to commit to that like George W. Bush did. I hope he lost the election on it, didn't he? I hope I'm not going to lose my job on doing that. But
well, his was on raising taxes. His was on raising taxes. But you're saying inflation is not going to get even down to 3%. You're a scary man.
I'm not, and you know, for the record, it's not me, but it's the inability of the supply side, in the lack of elasticity on the supply side, that is the issue. I think we will get a number of new initiatives during the winter, because you have to remember in the commodity market, we have the saying that in order to get lower prices, you need higher prices. So yes, there will be implications. I can give you like LNG ships, which is, of course, well sought because of all this arbitrage between the US and Europe and Australia and the UK. There are 40% more capacity coming online over the next 5 years. So yeah, in some places we're seeing improvement in the long-term picture. But what I'm saying, and read my lips, is that over the next 1 year and probably over the next 2 years, inflation is not coming down.
All right. Yeah. Some chilling words to end on.
It's pretty
on
clear
Steen.
There, isn't he, Paul?
Yeah. Well, it's nice to get some firm commitment from you, Steen Jakobsen, CIO and Chief Economist at Saxo Bank. Really appreciate your comments and insight today.